Okay, you heard last week about Jacob and Esau, the birth of Jacob and Esau. Remember when Jacob and Esau were born, Esau came out first and he was kind of hairy, and then Jacob came out later and he was grabbing his brother's heel. And so they made a joke of it, and they said, look, he's a little grabber. In Hebrew, the name grabber means Jacob. And so that's why we get the name Jacob, the little grabber. He was grabbing his brother's heel. The joke was that he was trying to pull his brother back inside the womb so he could get out first. But they gave him the name Jacob, which means grabber, or it means deceiver, or the name Jacob actually means liar. Jacob the liar. You may have, if you know anything about Hebrew history, Jacob the liar. Robin Williams did a movie several years ago called Jacob the Liar. It's a good movie. You ought to take a look at it. So Jacob, we heard last week, talked his brother into selling his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. Now that was the most dumbest thing I think I've ever heard, because I've had lentil soup, and it's not worth putting in your mouth. Just don't even try it. Lentil soup is terrible. And he talked Esau into selling his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. We're going to find out the story gets going on from there. All right, but Jacob, lest we beat you hard on him, Jacob came from a whole long line of liars. Did you know that? It goes all the way back to Abraham. The first thing we heard about Abraham, right? Abraham, God says to him, I want you to go to this far off land, I'm going to show you. And he gave him this covenant blessing. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And that covenant blessing was upon Abraham. He said, I'll make you the father of a great nation. But we heard the story of Abraham. But did you know Abraham was a liar? You see, while they were traveling, going to that far off land that God was going to give to them, they came into this city. Now, let me tell you the story. The king of this city had a reputation of being a guy who really liked pretty girls. We can kind of relate to those guys, right? Like, this guy really liked pretty girls. So much so that the king's reputation was that whenever he saw a pretty girl, he took her into his harem to be his. He wanted to possess any pretty girls that he saw. Well, Abraham's traveling through the land, and Sarah's with him. He said to himself, now Sarah, my wife, is kind of attractive. And so I'm worried that this king, if he finds out we're married, he will kill me so that he can take Sarah to be his, take Sarah to himself. So you know what Jacob, what that Abraham did? Abraham lied. And he said to them when he went into the town, this is my sister. So the king says, okay, sister, hey, everything's fair and number one, right? He takes Sarah into his harem. Now Abraham sat by and says, oh. Now come on, don't you think Abraham needs to go to the man in this room? I mean, come on, Abraham didn't get a backbone. Abraham, you don't let God do this to your wife. But he lets her go into the harem. So, because Abraham didn't do anything about this, that covenant blessing is in danger. So God has intervened. Remember, God said, I'll make you the father of many generations. But how can he do that if Sarah is in this king's harem? So God intervenes to the king, cuts to the king and made a treaty. And God says to the king, you're a dead man. And the king's like, what? What did they do? And God said, that woman you just took into your harem is a married woman. Because you're messing with a married woman, I'm going to kill you. You're a dead man. And the king said, well, I don't want that. So the next morning, he calls Abraham to himself. He said, what did you do to me, dude? What do you have against me? And he said, look, you're going to get out of here. Take your wife and get out of here. Abraham, in all fairness, said, well, you know, it was really kind of a half lie. Is there such a thing as a lie? It was really kind of a half lie because she was really my half sister. Same father, different mothers. Weird story. We'll talk about that in responsibility. Okay. So the king said, look, I don't want any curses upon me. So the king gave Abraham tons of money. He gave him camels, he gave him goats, he gave him sheep, and he gave him a whole bunch of money. He said, here, before your God curses me, take all this stuff and get out of town. And so God took something that was bad, Abraham's life, and turned it into something good. He said in your mind, fast forward one generation, Abraham's dead. Isaac is married to Rebecca. There's a family in the land. Isaac and Rebecca had just had Esau. There's a family in the land. And so God says, look, don't go down to Egypt. He says to him, stay in the land that I've promised you. So Isaac goes into a nearby town because they're looking for food and water and things like that. And guess what Isaac does? Isaac does the same thing. He says to himself, you know, these guys like pretty girls. My wife is a pretty girl. And so if they find out that I married her, they're going to kill me and take her. So he does the same thing. He lies and he says, she's my sister. Now this time, the king doesn't take her into his harem. But they're town, they're living in that city, and one day, Isaac and Rebecca are sitting in his courtyard, and they think they're all alone. But the king is up in his palace, looking out the window. The king looks out the window, and he sees them. And Isaac is caressing Rebecca, from the scripture says. Isaac is caressing Rebecca. Now, let me just put him with. He's not stroking her cheek. He's caressing something that only a husband should do. And the king sees this and says, oh, that's not a brother and sister. And he calls me, he says, dude, what are you doing? And I said, like, well, she put my eyes and I was just afraid. And the king says, all right, look, I'm coming to a covenant agreement with you. We're not going to let anybody hurt you. He said, we'll make a treaty. And because of the treaty that he makes with Isaac, they're allowed to prosper in the land. And he again gives them more money, but he's allowed to stay in the land, and he's allowed to prosper, and his flocks get bigger and bigger and bigger. Again, Isaac lies, but God makes something good come out. Now, we come to the story of Jacob. Remember last week? Jacob got his brother Esau to sell his birthright. Well, now, this week, we would find out a little bit more of the story. Because Esau probably said, all right, sure, yeah, take my birthright, do the suit, I don't care. What goes in between you and I doesn't make any difference. The real thing is dad's blessing. As long as I get dad's blessing, it doesn't matter what I've said to you about this little suit. So Isaac is getting older. He's about to die. His eyesight is failing him. In fact, he's not pretty much blind. And he calls Esau to himself. He said, Esau, you love to hunt. You're an outdoorsman. You're out there all the time. Here's what I want you to do. Go out and bag a deer. Go get me a deer and bring a venison to me and fix me a nice meal of venison. And I will give you my blessing. You will now become the head of the household. He will get twice as much inheritance as his brother. He will get 2/3 of the inheritance and his brother will get 1/3. And but more so importantly, he will become the head of the household and he will become the owner then now, the one who will receive the recipient of that covenant blessing that gets passed from Abraham to Isaac and so on. But now, the mother, Rebecca, is hearing all this stuff. And so, Esau goes off to hunt. She calls Jacob, and she said, look, your brother's out hunting. So here's what we're going to do. And she hatches a scheme. She went and got a goat. They fixed a nice meal of goat. They cooked it so it tastes like venison. They took the skin of the goat and put it on Jacob's arms and on the back of his neck. Because remember, Esau liked to be outside, he was kind of hairy, so his skin was tough and leathery. But Jacob was a mommy's boy, and the scripture says he stayed among the tents. Alright? And so he had a fair complexion and he had a soft skin. So they had to put the goat skin on his arms and on the back of his neck. Then they went to cut his brother's clothes, and he put his brother's clothes on. They fixed the meal, and he goes into his father and says, Father, I'm here for your blessing. And his father says, you sound like Jacob. Is that really you, Esau? Oh yeah, it's me. I'm Esau, and I fixed a meal for you. And he said, well, that was pretty quick. How did you get a deer so fast? And they lied to him. He said, well, God gave me a blessing and put a deer in my back. So he came forward, and Isaac's still not sure. So he touches his arm, and it feels tough and leathery and hairy. And he touches the back of his neck, and it feels the same way. He pulls him down, and he smells his clothes, and it smells like being outdoors. It smells like Esau. So he said, well, right then, it must be Esau, and he gives him the covenant blessing. Now you got to remember, in that day and age, the firstborn got the blessing, not the secondborn. And even though these were twins born on the same day, Esau came out first. He was supposed to be the one to get the blessing. So Esau comes back and comes trying to hey, Dad, I got the beer for you. And his father said, well, I just gave you the blessing. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And then the truth comes out. And Esau says to his brother, I'm going to kill you. Literally, I'm going to kill you. And he means it. He is so angry at his brother, he said, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob has to run for his life. He runs for his life, and because he's a mommy's boy, he goes back to mommy's family. And he goes to his uncle Laban, his mother's brother. And by the way, on the way, he has a place where he stops overnight, and he has that dream. Maybe you've heard about it in Sunday school or something like that. He has a dream of the angels descending from heaven on this ladder, going to and from heaven on this ladder. We've seen this song when we were kids. We were climbing Jacob's ladder. All right, he called the place Bethel, meaning in the house of God. But the significance of that was, this is where God says, okay, you're going to receive the blessing I gave to Abraham. You're going to receive the blessing I gave to Isaac. And now you will be the father of a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. The descendants of of your lineage will not live in the sands of the earth. So Jacob now gets the blessing from God. And the covenant blessing is passed on to him. Now we get to our new story tonight. Are you ready for this? There's a little while to get here. All right, we're going to take a look at chapter 29. Here's the story I'm going to pick it up. Just let me read it to you. You can drink it in because it says everything for itself. I'm going to explain it to you. After Jacob stayed there for a whole month with his father, his uncle Laban, Laban said to him, just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wage should be. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely and fond of you. And Jacob was in love with Rachel. So he said, I'll work for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, well, it's better here than you than some other man, so stay here with me. So Jacob served for 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because he loved her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, my time's complete, but I want to lie with her. So Laban brought them together. They had a big festival. They throw a wedding feast, okay? Verse 23. But when evening came, he took his daughter, Leah. He gave her to Jacob. And Jacob lay with her. And he gave, Laban gave his servant girl, Zilpah, to his daughter, as a maid servant. When morning came, there was Leah. What a surprise! What a shock! And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done for me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why did you deceive me? And Laban replied, it's not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the old one. Finish this daughter's prodigal week, and then we will give you the younger daughter also in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. And Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah for his daughter Rachel as her maid servant. And Jacob lay with Rachel also. And he loved Rachel more than Leah. That's very important to go to that. And he worked for Laban for another 7 years. Okay, now isn't this something interesting? Jacob the liar, the deceiver, the cheater. He cheated his brother out of the birthright. He lied to his father, the blessing. Jacob the liar, the deceiver. What goes around comes around, doesn't it? Laban puts it back on him. Cheats him by giving his older daughter first. Now, you can ask all sorts of questions. I'm not talking about here for each one, but it's about how did he not know that it was Leah and it was not Rachel that night? You talk about that each one. It's a matter of conversation here. Okay? The interesting thing is, Laban turns it around. Laban deceived Jacob. And we're going to find out. This starts off a whole long lineage. The two sisters become rivals. They hate each other. They start lying and cheating with each other. Laban and Jacob try to cheat each other. Jacob cheats Laban out of a bunch of goats. We're going to find out later on. The story goes on and on. The servant girls, they have significance in the story too. But he's wrong. They have significance in the story too. But we're going to find that the lying and cheating keeps on going. So what's the point of today's message? The deceiver has been deceived. What goes wrong comes wrong. No. That's not it. What's the moral of the story? Abraham lies and God blesses him. Isaac lies and God blesses him. Jacob's a liar and a cheat and a deceiver and God blesses him. So what's the moral of the story? You be a liar and a cheat and God blesses you? Absolutely not. Here's the point. Are you ready for this? You don't have to be perfect for God to love you. You don't have to be perfect for God to love you. So many times people think they gotta get their lives cleaned up and straightened out before they go to church. So many times people think, well, let me stop doing all the bad things that I'm doing, and then I'll start going to the well, or then I'll get involved in a small group or something like that. Listen, you don't have to be perfect for God to love you. God loves us in spite of our imperfections. God loves us no matter what we've done. God loves us and he sent his son Jesus to die for us. Now the appropriate response for us is to live to that love. The appropriate response for us, God loves us in spite of our imperfections and the things we've done wrong. So let us receive that love and live into that love and try to live our lives that are worthy of that calling. Because God's story is persistent still today. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you, and me. It still goes on today. God uses the imperfect people. He uses the people that you never would have guessed, but he could be. He uses people that you
you never would have found. He's ready to use you. God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how imperfect you are. And so we should live a life in response to that love. Because how much more can God love you when you're trying to live that life? How much more can God use you? The world is yet to see what God will accomplish through you because of his great love for you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this blessing. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the assurance that you want to give us. We look forward to hearing more of the story, not just the story that's in the Bible, but the story that we live.